Let's pray together, and we're going to dig into our topic. Right before we pray, notice in your bulletin you'll find a sermon outline, which is the text of Scripture that we're going to be going through, and it's broken down phrase by phrase. We haven't changed it, haven't changed the word order outside of just segregating phrases out so we can see them clearly. So that's what you'll notice if you look for it in your bulletin. And let's pray together. Father, thank you for this great privilege to be able to gather today, to gather in your name and your authority. We thank you for your creation of the church and for calling us to be a part of it, this local church, this global church, this universal church, this eternal church. Thank you for ministry, and thank you for your work in us and through us, even in the hard times. Thank you for your design for hard times. We recognize you as sovereign in the hard times and as having a plan continuing in our lives in the hard times. Work a greater knowledge of your plan in us today, Father, we pray, and of you, most of all, and your grace and the gospel. Amen. We are in the letter of 2 Timothy. Title is When Life Gets Hard. And so let me ask you all a question, if I could, to kick this thing off. When life gets hard, what do you do? What do you do? What is your default when life gets hard? What do I do when life gets hard? My tendency is to withdraw and focus on myself because, well, life is hard, and when life gets hard, you need to focus on yourself, right? Is that the formula? I mean, it's, you know, if we don't have self-help, how can we help others? What do you do when life gets really hard? Not hard, but like really hard. Then what do you do? What do you do when life gets really, really, really hard? What do we do? What does God's Word teach us? Does God's Word have any folks in it that God used to write it that experienced any type of hardness of life? Do they have a couple? Was there a couple? Somewhere in there, I think there was a person or two or 40 that experienced like really hard stuff in life, okay? And so we're going to look at two of them today, one a writer, one a recipient. Paul is writing this letter, incarcerated in Rome, as far as we know, for the second time, probably the last letter that he wrote. And he is the first time he was under house arrest, it appears, in Acts chapter 28. Now we're past the book of Acts in the writing of this letter. But it appears that he's wearing chains again, but that he's in a worse condition this time. And he is facing the death sentence, which it appears is going to be carried out shortly hereafter. He's being called a traitor to the nation. He is being called a person who is vile and does not deserve to live any longer. He is hated by the people around him, and he's in a horrible situation, and life is drawing to an end. That's hard. And he's writing to Timothy, who also is in a tough situation, not as bad as Paul's. He's over in the Turkey area in a place called Ephesus. It appears, we're not positive about that, but it appears that's where he is. And Paul's over in Rome, in Italy. And the persecution is mounting at this time, kind of the beginning of increased persecution by Rome. There's always been the persecution of the Jewish folks, but now by Rome. And so things are getting worse for Timothy as well. And I assume he had every, and Ephesus was a tough neighborhood anyway, and I assume he had every temptation to bail. And so Timothy's going through a mounting time of hardness, and Paul's in a really, really, really hard place in life. And so this letter is penned. And we're going to begin we start today with verse 15, but we're going to back up and start with verse 13. That's what you have in your sermon outline. To bring forth 3 points before we get into it by way of review in the book, after the introduction in verses 1 and 2 of 2 Timothy chapter 1, Paul begins with thankfulness. And if you're going through a tough time, that's a really good place to start. He's specifically thankful for Timothy. And in other letters, we see him thankful for other folks as well. So he's thankful for the people that God's brought into his life. That's not part of the sermon today. That's just by way of review from past two sermons. And then second of all, two big commands, verse 6 of chapter 1. Timothy, rekindle afresh the gift of God within you. So that gift of God, no doubt his salvation, but also his gifts that have to do with his calling into ministry, of which we all have, fire those up. Don't back down. Don't be timid, but fire those up. God's given to us not a spirit of cowardice, but of power and love and discipline. Join with me in suffering for the gospel. All right? So fire up the gifts of God, get fired up, and then as you do that, you're going to join me in suffering for the gospel. In other words, for the sharing of the gospel. Don't try to find suffering. That's never the point of Scripture. But as you attempt to share the gospel with others, you're going to suffer for it. They far worse than us, but us to some degree to this day do as well. And verse 15 is where we pick it up. Now, I want to draw our attention to what we do, verse 13, I'm sorry, what we do according to Paul, or what Timothy was to do, and they were elders, if you will, pastors, missionaries, but pastor types, and they are given to us for our example. We learn from our elders. That's the number one thing they are to be, is examples. And so Timothy, as an example to everybody else, you're going through a tough time, here's what I want you to do. Remember the stuff we've talked about. That's past sermons. You can pick that up online. But let's just pick it up today in verse 13. So I'm just going to call this number one. It's not really, but it's number one for today. Verse 13. Retain the standard of sound words which you have heard from me in the faith and love which are in Christ. Introduced this verse last time we were together. Hold on to, retain, continue to grasp. Sound or healthy words would mean teaching or doctrine. Continue to grab a hold of and hold on to tight. How do you hold on to God's word tightly? You put it in your mind. You have it on scripture. Like me, I've got scripture in my pockets like all the time. I don't mind traffic jams a whole lot because I've got scripture all the time that I'm working through. I encourage you to do the same thing. It will change your life. Guaranteed. Right? That's all some of y'all needed to hear today. Okay? Put scripture in your pocket that you're working through the Bible verse by verse. Grab a verse or two or three or a paragraph that you're studying that day. Put it in your pocket and take it with you. Look at it through the day. You won't mind the slow traffic and whatnot near as much. Y'all coming from Longboat Key later on the way to church, you got about a 3-hour drive. Okay? Put scripture in your pocket. Have your wife, have your husband read it on the way. You go over it and go over it and go over it. Meditate through it. Hold on to sound teaching, which you heard from me. We have Paul's teaching recorded in our Bibles. This is part of it. In or united with the faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. In Christ is faith, in Christ is love. We're united to Him. We unite the teaching to Him. So we live out the teaching of God, united with trusting Christ to carry out that teaching in a good way in our lives and in our minds, and to carry it out in a way of love. We don't just use truth to clobber each other. We use truth in love. We speak truth, Ephesians chapter 5, chapter 4, and verse, I believe it's 15, speak truth in love. And so we join truth to love and to trust in Christ and live it out in that way. So number one thing we're to do, besides the past stuff that we talked about, number one thing today we're to do for a tough life, take in God's Word. What you don't want to do, and this is our tendency, right? Things are really tough, so what is the, this is beyond the Bible. It's always beyond the Bible. Really? Y'all have my email, y'all have my phone number. Please share with me something that's beyond what Scripture speaks to. There's no such thing. Scripture speaks to everything in our lives. And our tendency is to, I'm too tired, I'm too hurt, I'm too whatever, and I just don't have time for the Bible. We do the exact opposite of God's formula when we're going through a tough time. Timothy, you're going through a tough time. Get in God's Word all the more. Take it with you, Timothy. Put it in your pocket. Put that little tiny scroll in your pocket on your chariot ride or whatever. Carry that with you. Go over Scripture. Go over Scripture. No matter how tough life gets, keep going over Scripture and live it out, trusting the Lord and with the love of the Lord in your heart. Number two, guard through the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. What a great phrase that is. God's Spirit is on the inside of us, you and me, Timothy, and that's true for all believers, the New Testament says. Guard, now in verse 12, God is able to guard us and our souls. Here we are to guard the treasure which has been entrusted to you. What is the treasure? Well, obviously, at least our salvation, but also our calling and giftings from God. But also, the treasure is, for Timothy, as a servant of the church, the souls and the gifting and calling of God in the lives of others. So I think, you know, the treasure, singular, is just the whole package of what God has entrusted to us individually and to those around us. We guard our children. They're part of the package. We guard our wives and husbands. They're part of the package. We guard our church family. They're part of the package. Through the Holy Spirit who dwells in us, God is on the inside, and we trust Him to guide us in guarding this valuable property. And so when we go through a hard time, what's the point for a hard time? Our tendency, again, is to, initially we're trusting the Lord, no matter how painful it is, we're trusting the Lord, but after a while, our tendency is to want to do what? Not just withdraw from one another, but to withdraw from God. And that's, the worst possible thing we can do. God is going through whatever we're going through. He's on the inside of us. And we've got to realize that in the tough times. Verse 15, hard relationships being picked up here. Verse 15, you are aware of the fact that all who are in Asia turned away from me, among whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. Don't have any children that I'm aware of named Phygellus. That is a cool-sounding name, but probably don't use it. Hermogenes, that's even better, but don't use it either, because that's all we know of these guys is they turned away from Paul. Not cool, all right? Now, has anybody ever, you've been walking with a friend, even sometimes family, right? And for whatever reason, they turn away from you. That's a horrible feeling. Every elder, every pastor knows what it is to invest time and money and energy and sweat and tears and a prayer life into people, and then in the ensuing months or years ahead, they can actually even turn on you and hate you. Welcome to life on the planet. It happens. And so you're going through a hard time, and the business went under, or you got fired, finances are short, so certain people don't want to be around you because you might ask them for money, so they're going to withdraw, you know, that whole thing, you know, and plus you can't really, you know, party with them very well, you know, or you're going through whatever it is, a loss of somebody, a close one, and nobody wants to deal with that kind. We want to be around happy people. And you know, Sam right now is not happy, so I'm just going to kind of withdraw from him for whatever, you know, and they just kind of become distant. And like, how does that, why do we, don't ever do that, but why do folks do that? We do. Now, for Paul, Why would people withdraw? Why would Christians, people who name the name of Christ, withdraw from Paul? It's not hard to figure out. Paul is incarcerated in Rome, the capital of the Roman Empire, and anybody associated with Paul, I mean, you had no legal recourse at all. Anybody associated with Paul in a close way could also be picked up. You know, this Christianity thing, all kinds of myths were being developed about it. It was the most horrible thing to happen in the empire later on. That hadn't happened yet, but that's going to happen shortly hereafter. So if you're associated with Paul, you could visit him in prison and you never come out. So we kind of get it. And yet this is Paul the apostle. And so verse 15, Timothy, you got the text, you got the email. Everybody from Asia. Now, Ephesus was, as far as we know, the capital of Asia, and that's where Timothy was. And so folks from Asia would visit Paul in Rome. But all those folks left, turned away, including two guys that evidently were prominent in the church in Ephesus, apparently, Phygellus and Hermogenes. What would that be? How tough would that be? In 2 Timothy chapter 4, the last chapter that Paul wrote, we have these words. Verse 9, just to understand the picture a little bit more. Verse 9, Timothy, make every effort to come to me soon. So Paul is fairly lonely. Folks have left him. Folks are not visiting. He knows Timothy will have the courage to do so. Timothy's given a hard time as being a coward. That's just like bogus, okay? That's just bogus. And I'll be Timothy's friend when I go to heaven. He's going to dislike a lot of the preachers today. He'll get over it. He'll forgive. I'm in the course of time, millions of years. Verse 9, make every effort to come to me soon, for Demas, having left this present world, has deserted me. By the way, this passage is on the back side, on page 4, panel 4 of your sermon outline. Verse 9, Demas, having left this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. Cretans has gone to Galatia. Titus to Dalmatia. Luke is with me. He's not from Tim's neighborhood, though, Asia Minor. Pick up Mark and bring him with you, for he's useful to me for service. More about that story when we get to chapter 4. Tychicus I have left in Ephesus on the way here before I got captured. When you come, bring the cloak, etc. Verse 16. At my first defense, in other words, he evidently appeared before Caesar one time already. At my first defense, nobody supported me. I had no character witnesses. Nobody. I'm in court by myself. Everybody deserted me. Evidently, Luke hadn't yet arrived, is the idea. May it not be counted against him. Great attitude. But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me in order that through me the proclamation might be fully accomplished and that all the Gentiles might hear. I was delivered out of the lion's mouth. The Lord will deliver me from every evil deed and bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom, which came about, as far as we know, by way of beheading. He was delivered safely, spiritually speaking, into the heavenly kingdom. So, point here is, we're talking about when life is hard. And relational stuff is arguably the hardest thing we go through in life. And so what's Paul's attitude here? What's the example that he's setting to Timothy and to us? When everybody turns away, you keep going. You know, 1 Timothy chapter 4, that the Lord stands with you. And so we have to have, in good times, we've got to have that deep awareness of the presence of God, so that we know he's with us in the toughest times as well, even when everybody else is turning away. Because what happens to us when we start losing friends and people turn away? We start to doubt ourselves. I'm not worthy of love. And I think many of us here know exactly what I'm talking about. And that exacerbates the hard time. I'm not worthy of the love of other people. Therefore, I'm probably not worthy of the love of God. The Lord stood with me and strengthened me. May we all have an abundance of friends. And this is an excellent church. You all befriend each other well. Keep going. Make that happen. And here's a good example of who we need to be. Here's what it is to be a friend to a friend of a person in a hard time. Verse 16. On the other hand, forget Phygellus and Hermogenes. Here's a great name. Verse 16. The Lord grant mercy to the house of Onesiphorus. Why don't we have an Onesiphorus here? Where's our Onesiphoruses? That's a great name. Good luck to that kid in kindergarten, right? Or preschool, spelling the name. It says, to the house of, so some would speculate, maybe he died ministry to Paul. Or maybe he was incarcerated in ministry to Paul. And his household, chapter 4, is it's the only other time he's mentioned in Scripture, is back in Timothy's neighborhood, apparently. All right? So don't know. Maybe the guy's still alive. Don't know. But point is, God grant him and his whole house mercy. I love this guy. This guy ministered to me. Let's look at the three or four things that this guy did by way of ministering to a guy in a hard time. All right? Number one, or A, he refreshed me often. When I visit people, do I refresh people or do I suck the life out of them? When you answer the phone, Is it a voice where somebody knows if I continue to talk to this brother or sister, I'm going to be refreshed? Or is it a voice, this guy's going to suck the life out of me, I better make this really short? How do we greet one another? How do we converse in our short conversations? And how do we converse in life groups? And how do we converse wherever we are? Is it about infusing life? The Bible says, let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth. This is Ephesians 4, 28, I believe. Let no unwholesome word, 28 or 29, let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment, that it might impart, listen, grace to the one who hears. Sometimes we have to bring correction. Sometimes we bring affirmation, or sometimes we're just talking about whatever. The weather. But is it an edifying, a building up? Are we leaving that person more built up in the faith? Or do we just suck the life out of them? Now, again, if I ask you, how are you doing? I want you to be honest. And if you break into tears and say, Ed, things have gotten, I just lost my job, and I just lost two family members, and we want you to be real and share together, okay? But there's a difference between being genuine and sharing together and just having a disposition that is always just, what's the word? Just not inspiring others. That's a great word, to inspire, okay? So do I inspire others? Check that out. He did. He often refreshed me. In other words, when Onesiphorus would come, I'd be in the stinking prison, somehow they'd make contact. When he would come, he would refresh me. I would leave his presence, or he would leave my presence, Paul's not going anywhere, refreshed. Is that me? Is that you? Second of all, he wasn't ashamed of my chains. So what is that all about? The word about not being ashamed is already found several times in this letter. We reviewed it last time. I'm not going to do it again this time. But we can be ashamed of our Lord, the testimony of Lord. Or we can be ashamed of Paul, his prisoner. That was back that we in a previous sermon in this letter. But this guy wasn't. He didn't let the temptation to be ashamed of being associated with a guy who was hated, but he was the scourge of society in the eyes of everybody else. He didn't let that deter his friendship. What kind of friend am I? Am I that kind of friend? Do I believe if someone were to, if Matt comes in, is Matt here? If Matt comes running, is Matt on the job? Matt. Not Mac. Matt. Anyway, if Matt comes in with his buddies and hauls one of y'all off, which quite frankly, after last night, is understandable. If Matt comes in and hauls one of y'all off, that's a joke. Don't spread that around. forget it. Anyway, if he comes in, hauls, do I believe the best about you
Or do I assume the worst? Am I ashamed of folks when other people are making fun of them? This is something we got to teach our boys in Boys Club and all of our kids. When a kid's being bullied and picked on, what do you want your son to do? I don't give a rip what the school rules are. I'm just going to say it. That I do want on the recording. I don't care. I told my boys growing up, if a kid is being picked on, some kid's punching him or whatever, you step in. The rule was you couldn't help. I don't care what the rule is. God's rule is you step in, you be a man, you man up, and you help. I got your back, and if you get expelled, you do. But you do the right thing, okay? God first, rules of society second. And we've got to raise our young people to do that. When a girl's being social media picked on, do we back off of being her friend because we might be picked on? That's the tendency, right? The older folks, you don't know what this is all about. I don't really know what it's all about, and I don't care. But I care for our younger people. It's a huge deal. So someone's being picked on. Do you back off? Or do you rally your friends to step up for the person and to say good things? When some of the other people are saying bad things on that thread, do you say good things? Things that are edifying to everybody listening, et cetera, okay? So not ashamed of my chains, but when he was in Rome, he eagerly searched for me and found me. Why would it be hard to find Paul? Well, he was incarcerated, and they're probably the government wasn't real thrilled about saying where. Also, a lot of the Christians probably were fleeing the area, by the way, as persecution is mounting. Others would say, I don't know who this guy is, Onesiphorus. He might be working for the government and might want to know if I'm a Christian, you know. So there's probably numerous reasons why it would be hard for Onesiphorus to find Paul, but he searched. He went to the trouble to try to find him. So notice this friendship. When he's in my presence, he refreshed me. He wasn't ashamed of what I was going through, other people mocking me, of being associated with me. And he searched for me. He did what it took to find me. That's a friend. The Lord grant to him to find mercy. This is an interesting phrase. From the Lord on that day. That day would be the day of the judgment seat of Christ. Christians don't appear before the great white, the great white throne judgment. That's for folks who are not trusting Christ. But Christians do appear before the seat of Christ, and we are given rewards based on what we do with what God entrusts to us. That's another sermon altogether. And so, mercy from the Lord. The Lord grant mercy from the Lord. Who do we need mercy from? God. Who really is America's greatest fear? Needs to be God. Who's America's greatest friend? Needs to be God. All right, he's the one. And so Paul is going, I love this guy, and I hope God shows him great mercy when he stands before the judgment seat of Christ and rewards are handed out. He has certainly been a blessing to me. I think that's the idea in verse 18. And D, you know what services he rendered at Ephesus. This guy is a servant. So check out this example of Onesiphorus. He refreshes people. He's not ashamed of what they're going through. He searches people out. They can't hide from him. He's going to find his friends no matter what it takes. And generally speaking, he's a servant. Is that me? Is that how I come alongside of other people going through hard times? All right? Chapter 2 and verse 1. You, therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ. If you're not jotting down notes, that was a long passage without a direct point. First thing we do when we're going through a tough time, we retain or hold on to the sound teaching of the Bible. Number 2, we guard the treasure entrusted to us. And this is number 3 right now, even in going through relational tough times. This is number 3, chapter 2, verse 1. You, therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. So number 3, and I'm going to read a little bit. We're going to back up. I should have done that earlier. Chapter 2, verse 1, just so we get the passage in our head now. You, therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, these entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier in active service entangles himself in the affairs of everyday life so that he may please the one who enlisted him as a soldier. Then goes on to talk about the life of an athlete, then the life of a farmer, then a command, verse 7, to consider these illustrations and what he's talking about. So let's back up to verse 1 now. You therefore, what is the therefore? That's a really important word in Scripture. Based on what we've been talking about, because life can be hard, because friends can turn away from you in tough times when life gets really, really, really hard. Friends can turn away to exacerbate things. Because of all that, therefore, Timothy, my son, that means that he's been mentoring, Paul's been mentoring Timothy. We've talked about that at the beginning of the letter. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. You know, when guys first look at this verse, what words pop out to you? Be strong. Another way to put it, man up. And that's what, guys, that's what my attention, when I first, well, I've read this verse many, 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 you know, 40-some years ago. But you know, when I first look at this, to review it, my eyes catch, be strong. I don't think that's the emphasis of the verse. Look again, what's being emphasized here, do you think? The word grace. We got to grab a hold of that. Circle that in your outline. Be strong. Yes, that's the command. That's the direct command. But be strong, not just buck up, be strong in grace. And we've got to grab this. Grace is in, notice the word I-N, in Christ Jesus. That's why you want good translation, so they leave these important little words in, like the word I-N. United to Jesus, and that's what happens when we trust Jesus, we're united to Him. We have grace. What is grace? That's a depth of love that we can't begin to understand. That's not mitigated in any way by what we do. It's 100% a deep love of God, regardless of how we are doing. That's an amazing thing, grace. My favorite word in the English vocabulary, word grace. Be strong in grace. What does that mean? Well, in chapter 1, verse 9, this grace, we're told, began in eternity past. In grace, Timothy, God had a plan to save you and call you into ministry, chapter 1 and verse 9. And me as well. Grace toward us began before we were ever created. When we were in the mind of God, God showed us grace, unmerited love. That's the inception of grace, chapter 1, verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10. By the grace, this is Paul's testimony, by the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace toward me did not prove vain or meaningless, but I labored more than the rest of them. Yet not me, but the grace of God in me. By grace, this old boy is saved, and by grace I labor. What does that mean? I know, I have some idea, Paul's saying, of the depth of the love of God, and that as I get to know the depth of the love of God for me, no matter what's going on, that's the driving force to labor even when life is at its worst. That's what he's saying. This is the same as chapter 1, verse 7. God has not given to us, Timothy, a spirit of fear, but of power and love, or you can insert the word grace, of power and love and discipline. Therefore, join me in suffering for the gospel according to the power of God. Right? So the spirit that we have, the God's spirit brings, changes our spirit that we now have in the power of the Holy Spirit, a spirit of love on the inside. What is that spirit of love? That means we know that we know that we know that we know we're loved no matter what. And I think we covered when we looked at that verse, chapter 8 of Romans, verse 35 and following. No matter what is going on, no matter what kind of hammers are coming down on us from the angelic, the fallen angelic beings, or people, or swords, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or whatever it is, nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. That's how chapter eight of the book of Romans ends. Nothing, and nobody can separate us from the love of God. And so, we are in that position in Romans chapter 5, verse 1. We're justified by His grace through faith. Having been justified, we can exalt or get excited about not just standing before the glorious Lord one day, but we can get excited also about going through, what does it say? Trials, hardships. Because we know that we know it's not the punishing hand of God. Why? Because we're living in the center of the grace of God. If there's one point in the message, I want me to get that one point. No matter how hard it is, we're in the center of the grace of God, and God does not want us to withdraw. There's times of sabbatical, maybe I'll mention that in a moment, but for the most part, we do not withdraw. We continue to invest ourselves in the lives of others, in the well-being of others, and that's the best formula for going through a really crazy hard time. Don't withdraw. Keep God's word in heart. Guard those gifts by using them here in the lives of others. So verse 1, therefore, because life can be hard, my son, and this is a good word to speak to your son, by the way. Be strong, listen, in the grace of God. Son, daughter, know that if you're trusting Christ, you're enveloped, something better than a bubble wrapper, by the grace of God, the unmerited love of God. Know that. Live that way and function that way. We're almost done, chapter 2 and verse 2. Having or working from that grace, do this, Timothy. Continue to invest in others. Verse 2, we might not make it further than this. I might venture verse 3. Verse 2, the things which you have heard from me, I wish y'all had all day. This would be fun if we did this all day long. Verse 2, the things which you have heard from me, in the presence of many witnesses, Timothy, we've been on tour together, the missionary tour. You've heard me share similar things at all of these different places we've been. You've seen the reaction of people. Sometimes it was pretty fierce. All of that stuff, though, no matter the... Remember when... this is a great story. Remember when Paul first came to Lystra, and Timothy and his grandma and his mom were there, and his dad was not a Christian, doing something else, or dead, I don't know. But anyway, so his mom and his grandma are there, and at least his dad was spiritually dead. And Paul preaches. What happened to him in Lystra? Timothy's hometown, where Timothy first met Paul, apparently. The townspeople got so mad at him, or the Jewish leaders stirred up the townspeople to get so mad at him, that they threw rocks at him until they thought he was dead. Maybe he was dead and God raised him. We're not exactly, or resuscitated him. We're not exactly sure. That's the first time Timothy sees Paul. Timothy comes back to him and says, hey, Tim, hearing good things about you in the church, why don't you come with me on this second missionary journey? And Timothy does. He's not a coward. Maybe that's the point you needed to pick up today. Anyway, so Tim, we've been together, and you've heard me teach, and what I want you to do, and you've seen the reaction of people every place we went. It's a lot, people get saved, but a lot of people get ticked off. Timothy, you keep focusing on the same stuff, and you keep teaching the same stuff, and if life gets really, 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 really hard from being really hard, then that's the way that it is. Keep going. Keep investing your life in others. Verse 2 again. The things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, these entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Timothy, it's not enough for me to go through suffering for sharing the gospel, for you to go through suffering for sharing the gospel. Bring other guys into this who can bring other guys into this who can bring other guys into this. So there's a whole lot of people suffering for sharing the gospel. That's the plan. Tim, are you in? And so, no matter how hard things are, Tim, especially if things are hard. People will take you seriously now. If life is just rosy, it's just another religion. But when you're going through the grinder, and you're worshiping God, and you're sharing with a passion and a love about this Jesus Christ who is sovereign and in control of everything, and you're going through it, and you're sharing this, your message is going to have an effect. Because it's not just some religion now, and you're not in it for your own good. You truly love this Lord Jesus Christ, and you truly love lost people. And that's where we want to be. And so verse 2, Timothy, keep entrusting. See people get saved with the gospel, and then watch them grow. And they will be able to teach others. And I'm gonna shut down with verse 5, and we'll pick it up here next time. If there is a next time. Verse 5. Suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. Tim, again, as in chapter 1, I'm calling you again to do this. Suffer hardship with me. And if you see the word suffer hardship with me as the big words, I want you to see that little word as the big word. That's the emphasis. Suffer hardship with me. Just kind of downplay that for a moment. Don't go looking for hardship. It's going to find you because you're sharing Christ. But I want you to suffer, and here's the emphasis, as a good soldier of Christ. Timothy, picture yourself as a soldier. Soldiers face hardship. That's what they sign up for. Christians face hardship because we're in a spiritual battle for the eternal souls of men, and Satan doesn't like it, and there's a lot of people that don't like it, and you're going to face hardship. Do it anyway, but have the attitude of a soldier, and then athlete and farmer, and we'll pick up those illustrations next time, but pray through them if you would. We want to, today, absolutely know that we can entrust our souls to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is absolutely faithful in whatever we're going through. We want to retain His Word, for sure. We want to protect our souls from those discouragements and things that would cause us to turn away from Him and turn away from others. We want to, in every way, go ahead, yeah, worship team, come on up. We want to, in every way, focus our attention on Christ and focus our attention on others, and know that we know that we know we're in the center of the grace of God. Lord Jesus, help us to be strong in grace, to be fully convinced of the grace of God no matter what. Lord Jesus, thank you for coming to this planet, living a perfect life, going to a cross, dying on that cross in our place, taking our sins on your body. And friend, if you've never spoken these words, I encourage you to do this even right now. Lord Jesus, I trust you as my Savior and Lord. I turn from myself in my own direction, my sin, I turn from it, my sin, my rebellion, and I turn to you and I turn to your word. My life from here forth is focused on you in ministry. And if hardship is part of it, then that's the way it is. Grow me to be strong in the grace of God. In Jesus' name, amen.